This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi there. My name's John Leary, and this is the Saturday Quiz. Every week, I am joined by a different pair of guests who try to answer the 10 general knowledge questions from the quiz in the Saturday paper. This is the final weekend of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, but as the saying goes, when one comedy festival closes, another one opens. After entertaining audiences in Melbourne, the comedians I have on the podcast today are about to take a trip up the Hume to perform at the Sydney Comedy Festival. That festival runs from the 22nd of April until the 19th of May, and today I am joined by a pair of performers that you can see together on the same night in their show, Too Haram to Handle. Welcome to the show, Annie Louie and Muhammad Magdi.
Hello.
Hello, you two.
That's the best pronunciation so far of haram.
Oh, really? I thought everyone knew how to pronounce haram.
I thought so too.
Yeah?
No. They've been saying it very bogan.
What are some of the pronunciations you get?
We got harem. That was the funniest one.
Like a harem, a multi-wived.
Yeah. Changes the whole meaning of the term.
Which is not inaccurate. To a harem to handle. That also would be fun.
That's funny. Well, maybe you should describe or explain what haram is.
Well, haram, basically, I think everyone is familiar with the word halal because you see it everywhere. Like halal meat, halal restaurant. So Basically, haram is the opposite of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So halal being the what is permissible or...
Correct.
Correct, even in Islam. Yeah. And haram
is the opposite. So if you say giving charity, donating to charity is halal, stealing is haram. It's just an easy example.
Yeah. Nice. Good.
Yeah.
So why is your show called Too Haram to Handle?
We were bouncing ideas about doing a split bill show, which means we do two separate sets of stand-up comedy. And we are dating across continents. He lives in Hong Kong. I was living in Australia. Now we're going to try and live together overseas in Hong Kong after the comedy festival and the Sydney Comedy Festival. But the theme of dating shows, I had a vision that haram is really in the zeitgeist right now with TikTok and a lot of ethnic TikTokers coming up. And we put the two together and he churned out the title while we were driving home from a gig. And I went, that's it. Take the day off.
That is a good title.
Done.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, it has been, the title has been a big drive and, people coming or at least paying attention to the show because the title is just they're like, oh, what is that?
And that show, I should say, this being Saturday, you have three more shows on at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. You're on tonight at 7:50 and Sunday at 6:50 in the flag room of the Town Hall. Plus... it's very good news because you've added an extra show in the cloakroom of the Town Hall at 5:30 on Sunday. So if my audience is listening on the day this podcast comes out on Saturday, they can come get tickets for either of the shows tomorrow.
I would love for audience to come, but I would also love it even more if you do that and then everything is already sold out.
Well, hopefully if it is sold out that then they can make the trip with you up to Sydney.
Yeah. And go that's amazing. How did you know we were going to do a road trip? We haven't shared the plans, but we will be driving in the car. So
oh wow. Well, to be honest, that was just an assumption that I made.
I'm actually going to go ahead and without consulting Annie say that we're even offer one spot of one for one of your listeners to drive up with us in Sydney. Wait for it. In the boot.
We were so excited that my old car, the boot was dead as of a month ago. It locked itself and wouldn't unlock. And as of yesterday, we got the news that it was fixable via locksmith. And now we're like, yeah, now let's take everyone to Sydney.
Exactly. So one of you listeners can actually apply and be in the boot for the whole trip if you would like to.
Well, if you would like to drive up, spend 10 hours in the back of a car, in the boot of a car, with either Annie or Muhammad driving, then, yeah, call in, text in, and we'll see what we can do. Now, on this show, on this podcast, I ask my guests if they have a favourite piece of trivia. Do either of you have a favourite piece of trivia?
There's a piece of trivia in my show. I talk about how our national emblem is the emu and the kangaroo, and they can't walk backwards. So I've been asking people whether they know the reason why. So that's my current piece of favourite trivia.
Yeah, nice. That's cute. I don't know if that's true, though.
Apparently there's other animals that can't walk backwards as well. But yeah, okay. I think if you Google deep enough, there's like, oh, you know, well, sometimes it does stepping back like one step count as like backwards. So I think it's a bit grey.
Well, I thought fish don't swim backwards either, right?
So, yeah. So our national emblem could be
a fish.
There you go. mine is from my country. Two things about Egypt that a lot of people, not so many people know. One is that a decent chunk of Egypt is actually in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So all of Sinai Peninsula is in Asia. And not many people know that. So actually people who are born in Sinai Peninsula or Egyptian are considered Asians.
Yeah, I see.
And the other part is that Egypt is in Africa. This is more people know that Egypt is in Africa, but people don't see Egypt as an African country. So that's another. That's less. I think like that one everyone knows, but still, it's cool to remind people that Egypt is an African country.
Yeah, it's funny that kind of continental delineation and where those lines are drawn, because a lot of the time Europe is considered its own continent. Which is, to my mind, is kind of ridiculous because it's tiny, and it's only because that for, you know, a vast portion of what we consider recorded history, that has been the center of things, you know, that has been the birth, I guess, of Western civilization. And so everyone Europeans go, we're our own continent, you know, we're so important. And you go, well, yeah, but geographically you're tiny.
When people say, like, I've been to 80 countries and all of them are in Europe, you're like,
some of them are like, sound like made up country anyway. What the hell is a Luxembourg?
True. Well, apologies to any Luxembourgian listeners.
So sorry for alienating your two listeners in Luxembourg.
Man, if I get two, that's huge.
Yeah. I recently had a notification on my Instagram saying that a piece of music I had used on a reel was banned and could no longer be accessed from these countries. And the only country in the list was Belarus. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no. All right. Well, let's get into the quiz because actually talking about, I guess, geography a little bit, and nationality will take us to our first question, which is question number one. What nationality was Jørn Utzon, the designer of the Sydney Opera House?
Okay. Do you know this? I feel like he is either Dutch or Danish.
Oh, yeah. Good
Dutch one. Or Danish. They're often the ones that get confused, I reckon, in my head at least.
Yeah.
There's a lot of famous Dutch designers. Don't ask me to name any, but I think there are famous Dutch designers.
Yeah.
Sure.
The Danes weren't very prevalent, I feel, around Australia at that time. So I'm gonna agree and say Dutch.
Dutch? Mm. Well, I'm afraid he was Danish.
We were so confident.
Look, but you're going to get that one anyway because I confuse those two. Dutch and Danish, they're always the same in my head. I know. Again, I'm alienating my Dutch and my Danish listeners. Jørn Utzon, the designer of the Sydney Opera House, was Danish.
I always think about how quite a few people died building that, and that's his fault. Why did he build such a wild design?
That's his fault.
It is.
Have you, Muhammad, have you been up to Sydney? Have you been to Sydney before?
Yeah. I visited last year, and we drove actually again from Melbourne to Sydney and back.
Did you go? Did you see the Opera House?
I did. Yeah, we didn't get like right in front of it. We just like we were on the harbour and kind of on the other side. It's like where you take the famous photo.
Yeah. Oh, you had a good story though. About how you wanted to visit since you were a kid. But yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, it was basically that. That's it. I remember like being introduced to Sydney through the Olympics. The 2002, I think that was
no
the,
2000.
Yeah,
2000. Yeah, Sydney 2000. And yeah, exactly. I remember watching it on TV. I'm born in 1989, so I would have been 11 years old. And I remember seeing it as like obviously the Opera House was heavily featured, and I'm like, that's so cool. I wish I can go there one day. It's just like it feels like a little kid in Egypt. It seemed like just like, you know, it's a different universe. Like I would never go there, but it's just like a wish. So to end up being there, like Annie took me out on my birthday last year, which was in October, and it was just like a perfect night. It was like a magical night. So it was actually quite emotional.
Wow,
very, very
that's
nice.
So amazing. Because I'm sure that a lot of Australians would say the same thing about Egypt and about, you know, the pyramids, which are, you know, these structures or buildings that are separated by millennia.
Except that, you know, the Opera House is built by a Danish guy and the pyramids are built by aliens. So
exactly. But who's to say that Jørgensen wasn't an alien in disguise?
Yeah.
Maybe. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
All right. Question number two. Name Earth's five major circles of latitude.
Oh.
So this is a more kind of sciencey one, I guess.
Wait, is latitude, is that the equator or is that, am I off?
No, you're exactly right. The equator is one of them.
Oh, right. Okay. So
what do they
one.
Call I'm the out. Other lines? What are the other, like Arctic Circle, Antarctic Circle?
Nice. There you go. You've got two more to get now.
It's not Gulf of Carpentaria, isn't part of it. What is
not
a Gulf?
Not the Gulf of Carpentaria. No, but you've got the right kind of vibe. It's the something of something.
Oh.
The coffee belt.
Not the coffee belt. I like the coffee belt though.
Yeah, what's between like the rest of them? So we identified the toppest and the bottomest, but what's the in between the equator?
Yeah, you've got the toppest
the
and the bottomest and the middlest. And so there's a line, there's a latitude that goes between the equator and the Arctic and the equator and the Antarctic.
Yeah. Well, we're on one. We must be on one and I can't remember it, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Australia must have one cutting through.
Where'd you grow up, Annie?
Here in Melbourne.
Oh, in Melbourne. For some reason, I thought you were a Queenslander. No.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, sorry to the Queensland listeners.
Again, we're just pissing off everyone.
Yeah.
There is one that kind of runs across the top of Australia, or more or less across the top of Australia.
It's a tropic something. I don't know. Would it be a tropic?
The Tropic of?
Tropic of. Oh.
They're both called the Tropic of something.
Oh, wow. So close.
And it's got to do with, I'll tell you how we get the kind of idea of them.
Yeah.
It's about the sun and where it can be seen directly overhead. At the solstices.
Oh, right.
At the solstice.
So, the ozone?
No, I love it, though. The ozone layer.
It's not the Tropic of Ozone. Yeah.
So it's something to do with things in the sky.
Planets?
But constellations.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's two of the constellations that are in
the Milky Way.
You're just throwing out words now. They're not helping.
Do either of you know what your star sign is?
I'm a Gemini.
Libra
None
and Gemini.
Of the good ones.
So
okay,
it's not the Tropic of Libra or the Tropic of Gemini.
Okay.
Can't be Pisces. They're the Cancer?
Cancer. Tropic of Cancer is one of them.
Yeah, that sounded familiar. And there's
something with the ozone thing, though.
No, I don't think you were.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
You're way, way, way off.
Is there another star sign that represents the
There's another one that starts with C.
Capricorn.
Capricorn.
Ah, yeah.
So the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn mark the northernmost and southernmost latitudes at which the sun can be seen directly overhead at the June solstice, a solstice, and December solstice.
Yeah. How sad is it? We've become, I've lost my brain cells. I definitely had one of those globes as a kid. That was clearly marked on the globe.
Yeah, they are clearly marked.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if you can get this one. Question number three. What is the surname of the titular character in the television series Frasier?
Mo, help.
I've never watched it. I'm sorry. Show? We're out.
Dang, you're like, into the one... 90s sitcoms a bit, though.
Yeah, I am. But, like, Frasier was not, like, I just didn't, never got around to it. So that one, don't waste your time.
Do you know what show, tell me this then, do you know what show Frasier is a spin-off from?
Nope.
No,
I didn't know this either.
Nah.
Oh, wow. Okay, so Frasier, the character Frasier was actually created for the third season of Cheers.
Oh, I heard of that.
That character was supposed to be the rebound boyfriend. Did you guys watch Cheers at all?
I'm familiar with it, but I haven't watched it.
Oh, okay. So there was this great kind of, you know, will they, won't they love story between Sam and Diane. And so Frasier was created as the rebound boyfriend for Diane after breaking up with Sam, with the role originally offered to John Lithgow, but after he turned it down, Kelsey Grammer was cast, and due to his performance, that the producers liked his performance so much, the role was expanded from only being originally in three episodes for the character to appear heaps more on Cheers. And then, obviously, Frasier got his own show, but that doesn't get you any closer to his surname.
Mo, what are some names around it? Oh, it's a surname. You're not even looking for a first name.
No, Frasier is his first name.
Be a hard guess.
Yeah, very difficult. I mean, you can just guess.
I'll get you there. I think I can get you there because we were talking about building the pyramids and building the Sydney Opera House.
Mm.
What piece of equipment, large piece of equipment, do you need to make modern buildings?
Crane.
Exactly right. His name was Frasier Crane.
I was very like, well, Frasier Truck?
Yeah.
Nice.
Frasier Crane.
Nice. There you go.
There you go. All right. Question number four. What are the two main ingredients of Bernays sauce?
Oh,
either of you into French cuisine?
Mo knows a bit of French.
Eggs.
Eggs.
Is it cream?
It's not cream, but you're kind of in the right region.
I think it was egg white.
It's not egg white.
It's egg yolk.
It is egg yolk. Yeah.
Hold on. Because we actually made it before with a steam wand of a coffee machine as an experiment.
Oh.
Yeah, so I remember that.
So with the, like, in a jug, but with the...
Correct. With the steam
instead
wand.
Of steaming milk.
Yes.
You have to tell the backstory of this. He worked at a coffee machine company.
I used to work for, like, during COVID when everything went tits up, I had a day job where I was working for a coffee machine company, and I was doing branding for them and promotional videos and stuff like that. So we sometimes just go nuts in the studio and just see like unconventional uses of coffee machine. One of them was actually because the steam wand was so powerful that you actually managed to steam your clothes with it. It's basically the whole idea is like what uses of steam, and then you just do that. So we steamed clothes with it. It's very cool. And we made carbonara sauce at some point.
Oh yeah.
I've seen a video of people making frittata with the coffee machine. So you just put whole eggs in there, and you cook it with the steam wand.
Yuck.
No,
I'm not into that. I've seen a thing where people like sous vide things, but in the dishwasher.
Yes. Yeah. I've seen that as well. You can also wash clothes in there. I listened to a radio segment where they wash their kids' hats in the dishwasher. school,
No, that's yuck.
Did that buy you some more time, Mo, to guess another ingredient?
Yeah, have you guessed? So you've got egg yolk, which is correct. And there's one other very simple ingredient, very French ingredient.
Onion.
No, look.
No, it's liquid. It's like liquid-ish.
It's like liquid, but it's kind of, we know it mostly as a soft solid. But when heated, it goes liquid.
It's not cream. Is it cream?
No, we only get that. Wait, when heated, it goes liquid.
What does cream become?
It's butter.
It's butter. Oh. Very well done.
Now I remember.
Yeah. Egg yolk and butter
are
the main ingredients of béarnaise sauce.
So anyone with a coffee machine, you can just start making it right now.
You have to have a very powerful and long steam wand. Otherwise, you're in for a bad time.
Okay. Yeah, it'll kind of spurt and go everywhere, right?
Yeah.
All right. Very well done. Question number 5. True or false? The spotted-tailed quoll is Australia's largest marsupial carnivore.
Whoa.
Are you familiar with quolls?
Yes. We were just talking about this.
We actually, this is where it's good to ask this question, because this is where one of us is a complete expert and the other one is an absolute dummy.
Which is which?
I wouldn't say I'm a complete expert. Well, this is an Australian animal, and Mo doesn't know any flora or fauna on the face of the earth.
Okay.
So he never knows any names of flowers or animals.
So regardless of it being native Australian animal or not, okay.
Yeah,
I think most birds for me are swans.
Most birds?
Like every bird.
Oh, look, there's a swan.
Yeah, like a swan down Swanson Street. I'm like, that is not correct. That is a seagull. So yeah, he honestly thinks I'm David Attenborough.
That's
which
hilarious.
Yeah, I'll take, but not many people will be impressed by my level of biology knowledge. But we're just talking about spotted quolls because my sister, she's been on this medication that has made her skin a bit patchy, and as we like to do with siblings, we bully them. And I've been saying that her arm looked like a spotted quoll. And so she went to the dermatologist, and she was trying to joke around with the dermatologist being like, oh, I have a skin concern. My arm looks like a spotted quoll. And the woman did not laugh. She was severely concerned. No. She's like, you've got dermatitis. I'm going to write you something.
Yeah. So, yeah, but what about my gags?
Exactly.
How are the gags
but
landing?
If you see, you see her sister's arm, that was spot on, by the way.
Pun intended. It was spotted quoll on.
Spot on.
Marsupials also would include kangaroos and wallabies.
True, but kangaroos and wallabies aren't carnivores.
Yeah, they only eat grass. So and I don't herbivores. Know why would the quoll eat? Why would it eat meat?
I will tell you that the spotted quoll is a carnivore, so it eats bugs and insects. Worms and stuff.
But is it the biggest?
But is it the largest marsupial carnivore in Australia?
Oh, they're not that big. I feel like a bilby would be the same size, but what do they eat? Grass as well. I'm going to say false.
Very well done. You are correct, but you don't seem to know why you're correct.
Well, I feel like there's
if
longer...
If you do with any, that's most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
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 My calculations are wrong, but the answer is correct.
Show your working, please. Please show your working.
The Tasmanian tiger came up in my head.
Yeah, you're close. The Tasmanian devil.
Okay, Tasmanian devil. Okay, there you go. Yeah, because I was thinking must be something.
The Tassie devil is the largest marsupial carnivore in Australia, and the spotted-tailed quoll is the largest marsupial carnivore on mainland Australia.
Ooh,
so there you go.
Nice.
The number of words I don't understand in these sentences is I don't know what a quolt is. I thought you were talking about a brand of a duvet.
No, quoll. There's no T at the end.
Quoll. Okay.
Yeah, what's the deal, man? You know what? Like four languages?
Four, yes.
Yeah. You don't know what we're talking about?
And I don't know animals in none of them. Including Arab. Yeah.
That's true. The other day we were wondering what the Arabic word for flamingo was, and he didn't know, and it turns out it's just flamingo with an Arabic accent.
Yep. And my brain has more important information, like the lineup of Manchester United in 2002. It's very important.
Yeah, it's very important to know that.
Yeah.
What about in Arabic? Can you do that?
In all four languages, I can do it, while sleeping.
Excellent. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. I'm joined today by Annie Louie and Muhammad Magdi, and we are up to question number 6. Singer-songwriter Georgia Claire Flippo is known professionally by what name?
It's G Flip, that I know.
It's
that
G Flip. Straight there with that one.
I've looked up her Wikipedia. And
oh, really? What can you tell
Australian
me about?
Australian musician, this year they still had music in the Triple J, like, top 10 songs, which is a massive achievement here in Australia for independent music, all music actually, but they are now just touring the world making like hit songs everywhere, which is big for Australia because we're such a little country.
I have never heard the word G Flip until now.
G Flip? No.
Nope.
It's a great, never heard of them. I think it's a great name.
Yeah, no, it's great. I just literally don't know who that is. Like, if you said that was, you know, a famous plumber, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, G Flip, that very famous plumber. Very good. All right, question number 7. Who developed vulcanized rubber? Now, there is multiple choice here. I'm going to assume that you need the multiple choice. Yeah? Yes.
No way. No. I can guess this on my own. Wait.
Is it Crane?
Never mind.
No. It's not Fraser Crane, I'm afraid. All right. Let me give you the multiple choices. Was it A, Charles Goodyear, B, John Dunlop, or C, Harvey Firestone?
Oh, no, they're all names of wheel companies, tire companies, so that doesn't help. I reckon they'd have to be the most famous of the lot. So, you know, that's why people trust the brand.
Goodyear,
that person invented the tire, the rubber that makes the tire. You reckon Goodyear?
Yeah.
I was thinking Dunlop because that, like, they've become so huge and made other rubber
products. But they also venture into weird adventures, like
pillows.
Tennis rackets.
Oh, yeah.
That's also Dunlop, so I don't trust them that much.
And shoes. No,
you don't trust Dunlop anything volleys. About tennis? Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is that a company that makes tires and then tennis rackets for some reason, they're going off on weird.
It's like how Mitsubishi like make air conditioners, you know, like they make cars and trucks.
Oh yeah, and how Yamaha makes cars and also keyboards, and whether we should trust them.
and Michelin for some reason rates restaurants.
Yeah, well, do you know why Michelin?
Because they like to stick their nose where they doesn't belong. I don't know.
Yeah, get out of here. This is not your game. No, the Michelin food guide was to get people driving places to kind of wear out their tires so that they have to
go and buy new tires.
So Michelin would go, you must go to these far-flung restaurants. They're incredible.
That's amazing that actually people took it seriously after a while. They're like, a Michelin star restaurant, while the company just tried to get people to use the products.
Isn't that funny? So,
so we haven't decided.
There's no Michelin on this list, so
I'm gonna go with Goodyear.
Go with Goodyear.
Okay.
Good idea. That is the correct answer. Charles Goodyear. He was responsible for, developing or creating vulcanized rubber, which effectively makes rubber by heating it makes it more durable. And
you know when was that?
He received the patent from the United States Patent Office in 1844.
There you go. That must have been a good year for him. Anyway.
But
a good year. Nice. Yeah.
There you go.
You're a bit slow there, John.
I was a bit slow on that one.
Yeah.
Now, you have to forgive my pronunciation for the next question.
Uh-oh, are you going to get cancelled?
Yeah, I might be. Here we go, question number 8. Suvarnabhumi Airport, whose IATA or IATA code is BKK, is the largest airport of which country?
This is the easiest question in the entire universe.
Is it?
But wait, we have to explain that Mo has travelled a lot, and especially throughout Asia and Southeast Asia. So is it one of the countries there?
Yes, it's Bangkok Airport. It's Thailand. It's like literally...
There you go.
How was my pronunciation?
Oh, I don't know because I'm not from there, but...
No, sure.
Yeah, but I genuinely don't know if that pronunciation was good. That word is too long, so I always just go for Bangkok Airport. But Bangkok actually has BKK. Two airports.
Mo, can I request a story about you not being able to leave the airport and the how much Excellent. Thailand hates you?
Yeah, sure. If you have Thai listeners, tell them that their country discriminates against me. For a country that is very welcoming and very nice. Like, every time I go to the country, I have the best time. Everyone is super nice to me, but for some reason, they have at the embassies that are not very, very nice people to my people.
Right.
So, I'm very familiar with the country. I know the two airports. I've been maybe 6 or 7 times, but now I'm finding it increasingly difficult to go back because of the visa restrictions on Egyptian nationals, particularly. So yeah, one time I was I was actually transiting to Singapore through it involves both airports in Bangkok because I was arriving in one and I should switch to the other airport. So anyway, have to leave the airport and go into the city to go to the other airport, which means obviously I have to enter the country.
Uh-huh.
So that means I need a transit visa and oh man, that was not...
Egyptians can't get transit visas?
They were not having it. And
they just don't trust you to go from one airport to the other without escaping.
Which is also hilarious because I'm going to if I'm planning to escape, I'm going to a much richer country. Why would I escape in Thailand when I'm going to Singapore? Where I have a visa.
Yeah, where that's where you want to escape. Yeah. You want to land and then run at the Singapore airport.
All right, question number 9. The foal of which champion Australian mare was sold this month for a world record $10 million?
Oh, I haven't been keeping up with horse racing.
How is your knowledge of the racing industry?
Not that well, although they're very into it in Hong Kong and I have a weekly...
Yeah, of course.
Race.
It's always busy. It's always a party.
Yeah. Have you been to the races?
So I've only been a couple of times and I don't put any money on, but because it's in the spirit of the entertainment in Hong Kong, that it's a huge tourist attraction just to go. Uh-huh. So it's more fun if you put some money on, but I can't say I know the name of any horses. I think we just went for the funniest name. Like the horse with the funniest name, we go, there, let's put money on that.
Yeah, because obviously they have to make the name unique every single time, so they have to get really creative.
Mm.
So it's like, the horny stallion or whatever.
Yeah. So we're going to lock in the horny stallion for the $10 million horse.
Yeah.
Because the name of the horse that we're looking for, or actually the horse that we're looking for is a mare. So it is a lady horse.
Yes, lady horse. Okay. So would we know the parent horse of this horse?
Well, that's what we're going for.
This horse is.
I don't
a
want
horse.
The name of the foal. Yeah. So I want the name of the mum. I don't think you know the answer to this one.
No,
I'm going to tell you that it starts with W, and it is a 4-letter word.
Will.
No. Wart.
No, the horse's name was Winx. Was that in the dark recesses somewhere?
I wouldn't have been able to pull that out though.
No chance.
Never mind. All right, question number 10, our final question. Here we go. You've done very well.
I really hope it's about the relationship between Chandler and Monica over the seasons of Friends, because I would nail it.
Well,
so specific.
Imagine that. Yeah. I would. I mean, you can make requests for... I'm a bit like a DJ. You can make requests for...
There you
can
go.
You though?
Ask Friends trivia.
But I can't deliver at all. I'm sorry. question number 10. I am like a DJ in that I sit there and I go, no, mate, I've got my own set. Go back on the dance floor. Here we go. Question number 10. Who preceded Emma Stone as the most recent recipient of a second Best Actress Academy Award? And there's a bonus point for naming the films that this person won for.
It has to be Meryl Streep.
Oh, that's Meryl Streep is a good guess. It's incorrect.
So, who was the person who won?
Who was the person that won their second best actress. Not second best actress.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're the second best.
Yeah.
Helen Mirren.
Not Helen Mirren.
Jennifer Lawrence?
Oh, that is also a good guess. But she, as far as I'm aware, has not won two.
Okay.
Or maybe she's won two Academy Awards, but not for Best Actress.
Sure.
Okay.
She might have been Best Supporting, possibly. Yes.
Right. Best Actress. Oh.
You said Meryl Streep, which is one of the people who absolutely has won at least two Oscars for Best Actress.
There's only other heavy hitters.
14, I think, other people that have done this. And most of them are kind of a lot older.
So she's young, like this person, like she's still around and relevant.
She's still around and relevant. But when I looked at the answer to this question, I did go, huh.
Don't think the acting is good enough for two awards?
Well, I'm surprised that, like, I'll read some of the other women that have won at least two Academy Awards. Ingrid Bergman, Betty Davis, Sally Field, Jane Fonda, Jodie Foster, Vivien Leigh, Meryl Streep, like you said, Elizabeth Taylor. Like, these are some heavy hitters, right?
Mm.
This person, I would say not so much.
So that makes me think of, like, Angelina Jolie.
That generationally.
Right.
Very, like, you're on the money there.
Sandra Bullock.
Oh, again. Yeah, like
Jennifer Aniston.
No way. No chance. I would quit watching everything if she want to. I like her. I'm a huge fan of Friends, but she... No. Yeah. No chance.
Yeah, no.
You already guessed Sandra Bullock, didn't you? So Jennifer Garner.
We just got to keep guessing, like, the actresses all the women we know from this generation.
Movies.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about if I give you her initials?
Sure.
Here we go. They are HS.
Is she American?
Yes. All right. I'm going to give you another clue, which is possibly a bit cruel, but big teeth is...
That's every American on TV or movies. American. A big ass teeth who's got big chompers.
I can't even give you the clue for the films because
it's true,
that's
obvious.
The bonus points.
Yeah.
Are we going to really kick ourselves?
She shares the first name with the presidential candidate who lost to Donald Trump.
Hillary Clinton. Hillary Swank.
Hillary Swank.
Oh, no
Hillary
way.
Hillary Swank. See
that
what
is
I mean?
So weird. What?
Like, if you said she'd won one Best Actress, I would have gone, huh, really?
Yeah.
Now, she's the last person before Emma Stone to have won two.
She was in more than one movie?
So what were those two movies?
I don't even know one Hilary Swank movie.
It was it like a boxing one?
One is the boxing movie.
Yeah.
Oh, is it wait, the boxing movie is Million Dollar Baby or whatever.
Very well done. There you go.
Oh,
Million
nice.
Dollar Baby. You could say that the foal of Winx's was a $10 million baby.
are we supposed to list more? Is there more to find?
Oh, yeah, there's one more film. Well, she's won two, so what's the other one?
Who was the male?
The other one?
The male actor on this other one. Yeah.
When you said male, I was pointing at you going, yeah, follow that thread, because in the film that she won her first Academy Award for, it is based on a true story.
Okay.
The real life story of Brandon Tina, played by Hilary Swank, who was an American trans man who attempts to find himself and love in Nebraska, but falls victim to a brutal hate crime.
Oh, wait. The movie is called Nebraska.
No.
There is a movie called Nebraska.
There is a movie called Nebraska. You're right. Okay. It was called Boys Don't Cry.
Wow.
No
title.
Idea.
Have not seen the movie a bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Before
there you go. Boys Don't Cry is the name of the film.
Mm.
And Million Dollar Baby was the name of the other one that Hilary Swank won her Best Actress Academy Awards for. And you can hear in my voice a little bit of semi-displeased. Anyway.
I would like to recap the groups of people that we upset today. starting with the Dutch population.
Thai people.
The Dutch population, the Danish population, Thai people, Jennifer Aniston fans, Hilary Swank fans. We did well.
And my two listeners in Luxembourg.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. In whatever made-up country they live.
Yeah. Well, Mohammed, Annie, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the quiz. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I learned so much.
Thank you. This was a lot of fun.
Excellent. And your show, Too Haram to Handle, can be seen tonight, Saturday night at 7:50 and Sunday at 6:50 in the Flag Room at the Town Hall in Melbourne, plus an extra show in the cloakroom of the Town Hall at 5:30, and then
second and third of May in Sydney at the Enmore Theatre.
Yeah. At the Enmore Theatre.
In a tiny room, but we won't say that. The Enmore!
We like to say
2,000 people!
Cut that part. We just say the Enmore Theatre. It's great.
Amazing. And I'm assuming people can get their tickets by going to either of those comedy festival websites.
Sydney, you get a point.
Hell yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you both.
Thank you.
I'll see you next time.
See ya.